Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So thank you for tuning in today. Our topic today is muscle confusion principle. So this is actually a kind of an overall concept you would use for training, and it can be for an individual workout. It can be for putting together a training program. It's kind of just a way of thinking, so to speak, in regards to your training. So we had posted a video on our social media pages recently showing a squat workout that I was doing with my mom. And we actually have a little portable chalkboard now that we use in some of the videos that we're going to be using more and more in videos, of kind of like teaching concepts as I also show some of the workout examples. I think it's kind of cool to see the visual while also getting some visual of the exercise, then also getting the chance to kind of see it on a chalkboard and explained in more detail with a visual and the explanation at the same time. So hopefully these videos are going to become more educational, not boring, hopefully, but more organized in the information that's being presented, so that way you can better utilize it and convert it over to your own training. So I know we all watch social media and we like to look at things that are cool, but how does that really help us? So my goal with Brutal Iron Gym's social media is that you can learn information that you can apply directly to your own health and happiness journey and get benefits from that. So the workout that we did in that video was my mom was doing two different types of squats, and she was doing them supersetted, so from one variation to another, and she was going back and forth. And the difference in the squats was how they challenged the body. So we have a new barbell for our gym called a Tsunami Bar. And what it is, it's almost like a bendable bar. It's made of very fancy plastic materials. And when you squat with it or bench with it or do anything with it, when you stop the weight, like say I squat to the bottom of a squat, whenever I stop, the weight's actually still kind of moved downward as the bar bends across your back, and then the weights actually whip back up, and it almost makes the upward portion of the squat feel easier, but it makes the downward portion of the squat, specifically when you stop, feel way harder. And the cool part of that, the benefit of it, is when you get to the bottom of a movement and you flex your muscles to brace, and then you go to try to reverse that motion, by having the weights delayed, it actually pushes and pulls into the connective tissues better, which actually helps them grow over time. And it forces you to exert more effort on your reversal, so therefore you learn to be more explosive with that bar. So typically we would get to the bottom of a squat, we would stop when we wanted to, and we would come back up when we wanted to. With this bar, you stop, but then the weight kind of shoves you even further down, and then you have to try even harder to start back up. Then, when you go to a regular weight, your body would almost predict that extra force, so you'll all of a sudden end up producing more force than what was necessary for the weight you were using, and that makes you more explosive. So I bought that bar because I've torn my hamstring on my right leg a couple times, and I feel like the connective tissue is of a low quality right now. So I'm using that bar. I'm planning on using it for the next 6 months to a year with squats, so that way I can help build up the connective tissue and build up my stretch reflex strength out of the bottom of a squat to protect that muscle over the long term and get me back up to squatting 600 plus. So right now, when I got injured, I could squat 600 in sleeves pretty confidently. And right now I'm only back up to 475. So I got injured in October, at the end of October, I believe. So it's only been about 4 months. So got to be reasonable about trying to build back up. So that's what the Tsunami Bar is. So it just kind of has that extra ricochet at the bottom. So it's an up and down change of stimulus. So it challenges you in a vertical plane. The other bar we were having her use was a camber bar, which is a bar that rests across your back like a normal barbell would, but they're the sleeves that you put the plates onto are actually more so, they're lowered below the bar, and they're actually more around your ribcage area. So you can actually do a quick Google search if you'd like on a camber, C-A-M-B-E-R, camber barbell. So it's pretty cool. So in a sense, the weights are kind of lower than your back, And what happens is if you squat down and you tend to kind of lean forward into your toes at the bottom of the squat, this bar makes that more emphasized, and it will punish you, basically, if you do that. So it teaches you to squat more in a straight up and down pathway. So it gets people to sit back on their heels better towards the bottom end of a squat. So it's kind of cool. But that bar, its challenge is actually horizontal. So that bar will actually swing forward and backward. So my mom, and I've done this workout myself, but the video we have was of my mom. So she was doing a squat where the stabilization challenge was vertical into a squat where the stabilization challenge was horizontal. And that resulted in muscle confusion. So that's the title of the podcast here, if I haven't lost you yet, is muscle confusion principle. So what happened was, is we were doing a squat a certain way. And if our body was going to adapt and learn that first squat, the tsunami bar, it was going to have to adapt to an up and down force. But immediately, right after that, we went to a squat with the camber bar, which had a forward and backward force that she'd adapt to. So once she would do a squat with the one bar, her body would start to predict that motion. But then we'd go into a squat with a different challenge pathway, and her body wouldn't be able to predict these things back and forth, back and forth. So what that ended up doing was it made it really, really awkward for her in terms of trying to figure out how to create the best pathways and kind of have her body be more efficient with the motions. We actually don't want efficiency when we train, at least for like our goal. And that one was muscle damage, get some aerobic challenge, and also get some strength challenge. So we're not trying to be technically better at squatting with a tsunami bar or technically better at squatting with a camber bar. So for example, we're not squatting right before a competition, like a powerlifting competition, for example, where we need her to be very specific to a certain event or a certain type of lift for a competition or event. So this was just a great workout, just trying to beat up muscles, make her stronger, get her more aerobically fit. So having things that were really unfamiliar to her body and having her body struggle with that was awesome, 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 and actually the goal. So what happened was her body was not able to predict the motions, therefore it couldn't make it more efficient where it could protect itself, and we'll talk a little bit more about why the benefit of that is. But it really challenged her body, so by doing unfamiliar movements, it kind of shocked her muscles into a deeper level of adaptation. So our bodies naturally fight against adaptation and change. So whenever we go into the gym and we do exercises and we're basically kind of telling our body, hey, we want you to change, so here's work that we're going to make you do, so that way you go, oh, crap, that was really hard. Let me get better at that type of work. So our workouts represent a stimulus to change. That's our way of telling the body, I want you to change, and I want you to change specifically in this way. And then our body will go ahead and do so. But our bodies naturally fight against change because change represents work. Our body has to do work to make changes to the muscles, to make change to the nervous system, and our body does not like doing work. So our goal of our body is to survive. So if it can get away with just the way it is, that's less calories burned, less effort put in, less stress overall. So the body just wants to kind of stay where it is. It wants to be ho-hum, always the same. So, our bodies, though, are also designed to fully adapt to whatever is required of it. So, if we start running a mile every day and we do it consistently, our bodies will adapt to that. It doesn't like it, and it won't adapt, say, 100% adaptation right away. So, think about this. If I run a mile 100 days in a row, I'm going to be significantly better at day 100 than I was at day 2, right? So we know the first day is going to be awful, but we don't go from the quality of adaptation, the quality of change, we don't go from day 1 to day 100 right away. So we don't become awesome at running overnight, we just become slightly less sucky. That's really all we get. So it's when we repeat a stimulus often enough that we give our body a chance to adapt to it. So I can't run a mile every hour and expect my body to adapt very well to that. It's going to break down because only a 1 hour rest is not going to be enough time. So if we give our body a certain type of stimulus and then we give it the recovery period appropriate for that type of stimulus, it'll get better and better and better as we repeat that stimulus and the recovery time over and over again. So, there's two parts there, that statement, that concept, is our body doesn't like to change. So it won't change unless it has to. But if we repeat a stimulus with the correct degree of stimulus and the correct recovery time frame, then it will adapt, and it'll adapt damn well. It'll be very good at whatever you ask of it. So that's the key to our training, and that's the key to what muscle confusion principle, like why it works, is the goal of this principle, the goal of our training, is to force the body to have to change. We want to force that have to feeling. So we want to do something in our training that our body goes, holy hell, what the heck was that? I have got to protect myself against whatever the heck that was in case it happens again. So that's the idea. Now, can we go into the gym one day and absolutely go hashtag beast mode and, you know, do a million reps and a million sets of a million exercises? Yes, we can do that like one day, but that's not a repeatable stimulus. So our body's going to get too beat up from that. So the idea of the confusion, muscle confusion principle, is that you're using exercises and concepts that are going to confuse the body, but the benefit is you don't need maximal weight. So since you have a confusion principle involved, you don't need the weight load to be the stress. The confusion is the stress. So instead of the weight load creating that have-to-change feeling, the confusion creates that have-to-change feeling. So using a muscle confusion principle in your training actually allows you to save stress and wear and tear in your joints while getting all the benefits of a crazy hashtag beast mode workout. So that's the awesomeness of this principle, is that if you use this principle well, you can get really awesome, cool changes and awesome adaptations from your training, and you can do it frequently and consistently enough to make that last a long time. So there are examples of this type of concept in programming. One of the most famous ones is the conjugate method in powerlifting, made famous by Louis Simmons of Westside Barbell. So their method, you're always kind of changing your main lifts, you're changing your accessory lifts. So the concept of what each lift is the stimulus it's trying to provide for the body. So they have days where it's max effort versus dynamic effort. And all that means is like max effort is really heavy stuff. Dynamic effort is very explosive stuff. So they're always going heavy once a week, maybe on their bench or their squat, but they're going to change up how they go heavy. So they know a heavy stimulus is needed for strength, but they don't have to do the exact same exercise over and over again. So they actually change out their exercises, and they have different frequencies in which they change them depending on what sport they're training for and stuff like that, because it's not only powerlifting. You can use the conjugate method for athletes of all sports, track and field, football, lacrosse if you want to, I mean, really anything. So anything, any sport that requires strength, which is damn near every sport. So conjugate method would be one of the most famous styles of muscle confusion principle in action, so put into a program. So some of the things of why this helps is the science behind kind of a muscle confusion is when we do new things, when I do something new, my body doesn't know, the muscles don't know the coordination of the movement yet. So if I'm doing, say, like we're doing a clean and press off the floor, and I don't normally do clean and presses off the floor, then I wouldn't really know, if that's something I don't normally do, I wouldn't really know exactly what angle to pull the bar at, what speed to pull the bar at, when do I, you know, transition from stopping the pull into dropping underneath the bar to try to catch it at my chest or my chin. So there's a lot of confusion to it. So our muscles kind of fire in kind of like herky-jerky patterns. They overfire, underfire. They try to stop at a certain point when they shouldn't have. They should have stretched an extra, you know, half inch or something like that, or an extra couple degrees. But there's a lot of confusion to our muscle contractions. So therefore, we end up getting more damage out of those muscle contractions because our body's not very efficient at that. That's going to help if your goal requires muscle damage. So if I'm trying to get bigger muscles, I need those muscles to get damaged. So using a muscle confusion principle is a great way to get more damage out of your normal workouts by using that confusion principle rather than having to rely on more weight, like we said, or more reps or more sets or stuff like that. That maybe might make your workout longer or make it more harder to recover and harder stress on joints and on the body tissues. The other thing is we have muscle confusion principle, like by doing weird stuff in our training, it creates an improper energy usage. So our body kind of, when we train on a consistent pattern, even if we do kind of new exercises here and there, we do new sets and reps here and there, but our overall style is just kind of the same, our body will start to predict that. So if we always train an hour, the body starts to control its energy usage, being able to predict an hour's worth of kind of stretching out its current energy. So our body will start to predict our training as much as possible. And it tries to conserve itself to last the hour. So your body says, okay, with what I have now, how can I last through the session? The awesome part about muscle confusion and changing up a lot of your work training is your body doesn't know how to predict any of it. So what it does, it gives up all of its resources too early. And then we get deeper into that, stimulus of that have to feeling of changing, your body won't be able to go, oh, okay, I survived that, okay. It'll get to the end and go, holy crap, like I used way too much energy. I wasn't right on how I did this. I wasn't right on how I did that. So it's going to say, I need to create better energy stores. I need to create better systems so that way it can last a harder, more intense workout. So your body doesn't, since it doesn't know how to properly regulate new and weird stimuluses, it gets more shocked from those new and weird stimuluses. So that's the idea. The idea of the muscle confusion principle is to always be doing something new. Now, if we always do something new, but we don't pay attention to the quality or like what type of stimulus it is, so if I always lift heavy, but now all of a sudden I want to do a workout where I do everything's 100 reps, but my goal is strength, that is not going to work. So I have to make sure I stay within the proper stimulus style, the stimulus category for the result that I want. So I can change up. We know, for example, an exercise done for 10 seconds or less builds strength and possibly explosion, but it's a very explosive kind of aggressive movement on the body. And that's needed for strength development. So I can do that in a lot of different ways though. So if we think of squatting, you can squat with a regular barbell. You can put bands on it, top or bottom. You can put chains on. You can use a different barbell. We have safety squats bars, camber bars. We have a Duffalo bar, which is kind of like a bent type bar. It has like a bow to it and changes a little bit of the stimulus on you. We've been squatting with that Tsunami bar. There's a lot of variety, a lot of variety. Then you even have different types of squats. There's a regular squat, there's a box squat, there's pause squats, there's dead squats. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So what you would do is you might keep your stimulus of 10 seconds or less, but you would go through all of those movements we said, all of those variations, so that way your body stays in the stimulus category it needs, 10 seconds or less, to develop strength and explosion. But it doesn't do it in the exact same way every time. So that's the idea we're trying to get here, is that we want to stay with the right stimulus requirement, but we want to change up how we do it. So examples of that are, like we said, is changing the squat bar. If you're doing squats, you can also, if you're doing bodybuilding, you can change the grip angles of your back workouts, for example. So doing overhand versus neutral versus underhand is a different stimulus. Doing both hands at the same time versus unilateral, one arm at a time. That is also a change of stimulus. If we think of chest workouts, we can get different angles. So we all pretty much bench it flat, but you can do some slight decline benching, like 15-degree decline. That changes up the stimulus on the muscle some. You can also do inclines at 15 and 30 and even 45 degrees and still target the chest. And that's the idea, is we're trying to change up something in our training that makes it feel different. So for example, I had a guy, well, client for a while named Greg, and he had dumbbells in his home gym in his garage. He had dumbbells and a barbell bench. And he came to me through a friend and said, hey, I'm getting kind of bored with my training at home. Can I get a couple workouts with you and just kind of learn some new stuff? So we stayed specific to dumbbells and barbells, since that's what he had at home. And his idea of this was to come in and do two or three workouts to learn some new things. Well, we ended up training for a whole year, and we trained twice a week. And we never repeated the same workout. We did over 100 chest workouts with just a barbell and dumbbells that were all different. All of them different. We never repeated the workout. And I know that for a fact because I wrote up every workout we did with for him. So he would have it as like a booklet for the rest of his life. And there were over 100 different workouts. We were able to change up bench angles. We were changing up time under tensions, like speeds of eccentrics and concentrics. We were changing body positions. So simply changing like from benching with your feet down the ground to benching with your feet up on the bench, that changes quite a bit. So there's a lot of things you can change. So like we said, you can change exercises, you can change body position angles, you can change even your time under tension. So if you're doing bodybuilding, stuff that's like 20 to 30 seconds long, where you're doing time under tension for 20 to 30 seconds, and you reach muscular failure within 20 to 30 seconds, that produces and can, if you eat well, eat appropriately, that can change to result in muscle growth. But so can sets of 30 to 40 seconds and 40 to 50 seconds. So they might do a set where it's 20 seconds of tension, superset it with something that's 40 to 50 seconds of time or tension. So that's going to feel like a change in the stimulus. So one is going to be a heavier stimulus and one's going to be a lighter, more of a muscle burn type stimulus. So we do circuits in our training very often, where often most people want kind of a mix of all goals. They want to get bigger muscles, but they also want to get a little stronger, and they want to get a little better endurance aerobically and muscular wise, because also once you increase their work capacity, they can do more cool stuff later on. So we'll do circuits of multiple time and tensions. So they might do a circuit where they have a 20 second time under tension exercise paired with a 40 second time under tension paired with a 60. So they do one exercise for 20 seconds, one for 40, one for 60, and that's their circuit. We will also change it where they might do a 20 second, a 60 second, and then a 10 second explosive activity. So we change up quite a bit. So if you're interested in that, we do have a handout for that. We have some videos on how to do that structure. So shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the idea for the kind of change of time or attention circuits. We also have intensity techniques. You can use things like rest pause, drop sets, supersets, giant sets, goal number sets. There's a whole bunch of crazy stuff you can do that is a really change of pace from your normal workouts. So rather than just doing like your sets of 10 and stopping, you can use these techniques to get more out of it. So for example, rest pause is I might do my set of 10. I'm going to rest the weight. I'm going to pause for maybe 5 or 10 seconds, pick the weight back up, and then keep going. So I might get 10, wait 10 seconds, and then only get 4 or 5 more. But those extra 4 or 5 reps were stuff that my body definitely did not predict. It was not ready for, and it'll have to force an adaptation to get used to. So there's a ton of those techniques, and we actually have a handout about that as well. So again, you can email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll send you a kind of a write-out of all the different techniques there are. Cool. So, and then if you like this idea, of course, we can always help you with like a personalized program or something. So if you like this and you think it's kind of a cool idea, just let us know and we'll help you kind of set something up for you. So, now, the opposing question of muscle confusion principle is, when is repetition necessary? And that would be, for example, if you're trying to learn a skilled movement. So if I'm trying to learn a competition barbell squat for powerlifting, I have to repeat that often enough to get good at it. And that's appropriate. If I'm getting ready for a strongman competition and my strongman competition has a log press, then I got to use the log press to get used to it and get ready for the competition. So there's other kind of sports-specific type activities that might be the case too, where you might have a skilled involved lift that you need to repeat, and that's totally fine. But you can change everything around it. You can change your accessory work around it. So you might know for a log press, for example, you want to get stronger triceps, and maybe one day you do dips, one day you do skull crushers, one day you do rolling decline dumbbell skull crushers, another day you do cable press downs really heavy, another day you do close grip bench press. So there's a lot of variation you could do there to work your triceps. So that's what you would do, is you would keep your skilled lift repetitive so you can get better at the technique of it, but you would build and change the craziness around it. Cool. So hopefully this gave you an idea of something you can kind of think of in your training is, are you shocking your muscles? Are you doing new, weird, cool stuff? And if not, are you getting results? Make sure you're getting results. That might be why you're plateaued and kind of things are slowing down for you. So if you're not getting great results, look into this concept and think if it's maybe something you want to give a try. Okay, we have tons of handouts, so just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and we'll send you handouts on this stuff. Okay, so progress in the gym is representative of the body's adaptations to what demands you place on it. Okay, so if you're constantly placing new demands on the body within the realm of what we said was the adaptations you wanted, so I can't do, you know, light stuff if I want to get hit, like get strong and heavy stuff. So if I stay within the type of stimulus I need for the response I want, then I have to, if I keep doing that in new ways, I'm always going to make sure I progress. So you have to keep the body learning. Cool. So hopefully this was helpful. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, you can sign up to become a patron of the podcast by donating $10 or more per month towards the podcast, which helps keep this thing up and running. And for your donation, we're going to send you monthly content that is exclusive just for patrons. It includes training programs. So, for example, a training program you can use for 4 weeks and put the muscle confusion principle to work. So these are programs you can use. So this is actual training programming for just $10 a month. We're also going to include extra information about training, nutrition, and kind of mindset lifestyle stuff that'll be exclusive to just you. You can't get this anywhere else on our social media pages or other podcasts. So it's our way of thanking you for becoming a patron and supporting the podcast financially. Now, if you'd like an example of what this kind of monthly content is, you can shoot us an email at brutalirongym at gmail.com, and we'll send you the sample. Cool. So, if you like the podcast, also please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world's going to be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love, love, love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about, okay? You can reach us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.